You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Irish Racing Podcast here at William Hill on a soggy Sunday all up and down the length and breadth of the country, and that includes Ireland of course. I've had a real good soaking in the last 24 hours and currently the ground is on the very much the yielding side, might even go soft even though the conditions are set to clear up a little bit throughout the course of the afternoon. We've got Group 2 action for you for the 2-year-olds predominantly, with the debutante stakes and of course the futurity stakes. Very much the centre of attention here this afternoon. Group 3 action comes up in the shape of the Royal Whip at 3:40. And as ever, we've got some big field handicaps to get our teeth stuck into.
Race 1.
We start with the 1:35, which is a 7-furlong contest for the 2-year-olds. Plenty of horses being touted here, and it's likely to be an informative race for the future rather than a race to get too heavily involved with financial early doors. Aidan O'Brien had the first two winners yesterday in the 2-year-old category, and there's a good degree of confidence surrounding his Circus Maximus in the first. This colt by Galileo, beautifully bred. If he knows his job, he's likely to take a very strong hand. Others to mention are I'm Superman from a yard I quite like, first time out with their 2-year-olds. There's a bit of a word going around for Michael O'Callaghan's charge, caught by footsteps of the stand. Didn't cross the lot, but hasn't stopped there being a good deal of market support for him. The one I quite like, I suppose, just using my ingenuity when it comes to these kind of races, is to go with a Jessica Harrington filly, because Jessica's got really strong form in this department this year. She's got some very good 2-year-olds, particularly her females are very, very good, and I do fancy one of hers later on in the card to run well. But this filly by Bated Breath, if the breeding's anything to go by, she should handle the ground. Bated Breath was very much a horse who liked to get his toe in. And odds around about 12-1 this morning, drawn right in the middle. I'll take a little bit of a chance at Casting Call, knows enough on debut to go well there.
Race 2.
On to the 2:05, and there's a good word going around here for Venetian Rock in this 6-furlong maiden for the 3-year-olds and upwards, and that might well be good enough, I suppose, if he's above average to take a race of this nature, because as it stands at the moment, we haven't got too many quality horses in this race that have already had a run. I suppose pick of them and the most consistent is Al Jumeiro, and if you're an each-way punter, then you'd probably look towards Johnny Murta's filly here, because she has got form on soft ground. She was third behind Katie Krull in a strongly run race early on in the season at Nace, and that race has worked out well subsequently. There was nothing wrong with her last run here either, over 5 furlongs beyond Optionality, who was a bit of a gambled on horse at the last meeting. But I like the way she stuck on well for pressure in the latter stages, certainly suggesting that 5 furlongs are no good for her nowadays, and she definitely needs at least 6 furlongs, or maybe even 7 in time. Draw 1, that could be tricky. I don't really know how the draw's going to pan out here at the cover today. And they seem to win from all over the track in recent times. Either way, I do think Ajmira sets a very, very small, if brittle, standard of the ones that have had a run so far today. When they're experienced and ability to handle the soft or heavy ground, then I'd certainly make her a strong case for her from an each-way perspective.
Race number 3.
On to the 2:35, then, one of the big 2-year-old races of the day, and I've got a really vested interest in this race because I've been a big fan of Lady Kaya ever since she stepped foot on the racetrack and caught my eye first time up here back in June when she was third in a very hot maiden won by Decrypt. We know the form of that race has worked out well. Invincible Karma won here again yesterday. And given that she closed in on the front 2 or 3 from being in an unpromising position, I was quite confident in putting her up here the last day to make her my nap, and she duly obliged. It was a bit of a funny race. I know she won by 10 wickets, but at the same time, I do think that was a little bit spurious in many respects, because she was given a massive advantage right from the start. It was as if the other jockeys knew the result beforehand and just let her go. either way, she still kept on very powerfully, and the grant is good, but it was definitely on the easy side as well because I had a lot of rain before that race. So it does hold up hope for me that she'll handle the conditions today. Now, it's not in tablets of stone, but to be fair, a lot of her market leaders have never had experience this kind of weather or conditions either. I do like Zadzitova. She pointed her toe one really well the last day down in Cork, and I've got a huge amount of time for her. One at a much bigger price is Chocolate Music, and given that Jessica Harrington's got a very good record with her two-year-olds this season, I do think we'll get a good run from this filly by Dark Angel if she handles the conditions. She's had a couple of runs, and of course her course and distance victory here back in the middle of July has worked out really well, with the Foxtrot Live winning next time out by 5 lengths and Burmese Waltz winning by 4 lengths at Dundalk next time out. So she was beating a decent stand of opponents, and if she handles the ground, I do think 20-1 for her is a big prize. But my number one choice would be Lady Kaya. I'm not going to desert her in a hurry.
Race 4.
On to the 305. Aidan O'Brien here seems to hold all the aces here, with Anthony Van Dyke and Christmas being his two main players here. And we know all about Anthony Van Dyke's qualities, because he's been very, really impressive on his last two victories at Killarney and Leopardstown, striding out really well on both occasions. 8 lengths the first time, 4¾ the next time. Time figures have been excellent, and he's very much one of their big hopes for next season, with the sort of Derby being touted as one of the main races on his agenda next season. Of course, I think he'll probably end up in the Racing Post Trophy. I think that's the kind of race that a real stout stay of Aidan's ends up being in, and he should justify favouritism down the front end of the market. It wouldn't surprise me if Aidan has the 1-2 here, because Christmas looks equally progressive. And even though he got beat in a fairly modest race at Garen 2 starts ago, he certainly made up for that by spectacular wins on his next two runs.
Race 5.
On to the 340, and we've got the older horses strutting their stuff here. Verba Dexterity obviously sets a very high standard from his three-year-old run when he was fourth in the Racing Post Trophy behind Saxon Warrior and Roaring Lion. We know how good that form line is. Just a question, of course, whether he's fit enough to do himself justice first time off the shelf. We know that Deauville's very fit, courtesy of his runs on the continent of late. Of course, that run in America last time out wasn't a bad one, when he just failed to get home in the latter stages. But I've always been a fan when there's been soft ground flying around for success days. And even though he hasn't won for a little while, he's got his ideal conditions today. And it wouldn't surprise me if he bounced back to his very best form. He's a front runner. He often runs his track well. He's very good on the round track. And ran about 4-1, 9-2 this morning. There's a chance that success days could lead it out from the front here if one or two of these don't bring their A game to the table.
Race number 6.
On to the 4:15, then, the first of the very competitive handicaps to round off the card. Jessica Harrington's got a very strong hand here, sending to post the favourite Echo Park, but more predominantly for me, Rivetto, who I think would probably have more of a stronger chance, let's say, on softest ground, because she's already proven on soft or yielding ground, as her win at the Galway Festival proved last time out. In fact, her two wins at the Galway Festival proved that she handles the soft ground. But of course, not only did she win on the flat over a mile 6 last time out, staying on very strongly, she also won over hurdles over 2 miles the time before. So she brings a good level of form to the table. She's definitely progressing. And with Shane Cross to take a valuable 7 off, odds around about 11-2 top price this morning do make plenty of appeal for Rivetto, particularly if she's drawn in stall 1 as well and gets a chance to go around the ground saving inside part of the track.
Race 7.
On to the penultimate contest then, and a couple of horses here that I definitely want to mention, courtesy of the conditions here today. Bobby Jean would be one of them. She very much likes to get her toe in, and she was victorious last time out at Sligo. She's also got a victory here under her belt at the Curragh over the course, and I think now that she's proven over a mile and a half, we can back her with a degree of confidence. The other one I quite like is Dragon Girl. Now, she only won a claimer last time out for Jessica Harrington, but her time figure was very good, and she did win by 6½ lengths. Now, she was a withdrawal the other day on the ground that was too firm for her. But on better ground today, I do think she's likely to run well. I don't know too much about the jockeys on either one of these two that I've mentioned, but hopefully they can do their mounts justice. And if so, odds for around about 5-1 top prize to Bobby Jean and 10-1 top prize for Dragon Girl make some kind of appeal there in the penultimate.
And the final race.
On On to the final contest then, a very wide open handicap. Depends on the draw here more than anything else. And if the high numbers do hold sway, I do think there's a good chance that Rattling Jewel will bounce back to form here this afternoon. Now, he was a bit of a disappointment when only a 7-1 shot last time out in a very hot Rockingham handicap over 6.5. But he's got some very good form behind that over slightly shorter trips early on in the season, including his run by Alfredo Arcano on Good to Firm ground here back in June. Now, this horse definitely wants to get his toe in. He's three victories on turf in his career anyway. Have all come when there's been on a soft surface, and they've all come here at the County Kildare venue. So there's a good chance that he'll bounce back to his very best form. He's certainly off a very good mark. He often comes good at this time of the year as well. With plenty in his favour today, I do think Rattling Jewel is capable of outclassing his rivals, because this would certainly represent a step down in a grade or two for Joseph O'Brien's charge. Okay, then, thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. There will be no podcast tomorrow because it clashes with the bank holiday action, but I'll be back on track for you at Ballinrobe on Tuesday when we'll be looking at their 7-race jump card beginning at 5:00. So until then, it's goodbye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.